Now, let's see, are there any things new that the Sahaba or Tabi'in, Tabi'i Tabi'in did? Can we first find the dictionary definition of the Sahaba, of this activity of bid'ah? So, number one, I'm going to show you some things that the Sahaba Kiram did in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that were not things that he told them to do. Not things that he told them to do. Number one, this is an hadith that is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala by in Bukhari and in Muslim, that the Prophet said to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu at the time of Fajr, that, "O Bilal, tell me about the deed for which you are most hopeful for reward in Islam. For truly I heard the sound of your footsteps in Jannat." Sayyidina Bilal responded, "I do not do anything for which I am more hopeful of reward, except the fact that I never perform wudu in the day or night without praying what I must pray after each such wudu." And in another hadith mentioned by Tirmidhi, "I never raised adhan except that I prayed two rakats afterwards, nor did I ever lose my wudu except that I remade my wudu and then prayed two rakats to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the Prophet responds to this that with these two rakats you entered paradise. This prayer known as Tahiyatul Wudu, to pray two rakats after wudu, the very first person who ever did this was Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. So he did something which the Prophet didn't tell him. Certainly, those things the Sahaba did while the Prophet is alive, once the Prophet approves it and gives it his sanction, it acquires legitimacy from the Sunnah. But it also shows something, at the same time, notwithstanding that fact, that the Sahaba felt that they could do something new in nafil ibadat that was not instructed to them by the Prophet ﷺ. And because Rasulullah ﷺ is saying in the hadith that you got Jannah due to these two rakats, and the prophetic approval of these two rakats is coming after, and the prophetic, the Prophet ﷺ being told that Sayyidina Bilal got Jannah came before, it means that the legitimacy and validity of this new prayer of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not dependent on the Prophet's permission, because his permission and acceptance came after the fact that he had been praying it. His permission and acceptance came after the fact that Jannat ki bisharat mil gayi thi. And certainly again, we can never think like that about the Sahaba, that they would have done something new in nafil ibadat, if, as perhaps some may think, that you cannot do anything new in nafil ibadat unless the Prophet ﷺ told you to do so. Then certainly if me and you think that, then certainly the Sahaba would have thought that. And this clearly proves that the Sahaba didn't think that. And commenting on this hadith, Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani rahimahullah, the greatest alim of Bukhari, one is to be a muhaddith in the sense of compiling chains, and one is to be a muhaddith in terms of your ilm of the tashri' of the hadith. And everybody agrees, I think everybody would agree, that Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani is the greatest alim of Bukhari, and he's a Shafi'i. 100% ascribed himself to his single legal methodology of the madhab of Imam Shafi'i. Writes in his commentary Fathul Bari under this hadith, "This hadith signifies that ijtihad is permissible concerning timings and acts of worship." Alright? Okay. Second hadith of a sahaba doing some ibadat, right, that the Prophet did not tell them. This is also mentioned by Bukhari and in the Mu'tah of Imam Malik and An-Nisai and the Muslim Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. The Sahaba Sayyidina Rifa' ibn Rafi' al-Zukari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ was leading Maghrib prayer and said, "Sami Allahu liman hamid," it's a very famous hadith. So this Sahaba, he was standing behind and said, "Rabbana lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi." These extra words that the Prophet ﷺ had never taught him, the Prophet ﷺ had never said. The fact that the Sahaba felt that he could say this and could say it loud enough that the Prophet ﷺ could hear and other Sahaba could hear means that the Sahaba did not in any way feel that they were pabund, that in nafil ibadat they can only do what the Prophet ﷺ has told them to do. And obviously then again you're going to have that the Prophet ﷺ approving of this action later, because the hadith continues in Bukhari that the Prophet asked who said this. Sayyidina Rifa'an said that I said it, and the Prophet said that the angels, the reason I asked was because the angels were competing with one another to be the first to write down the way you praised Allah in this new untaught manner inside, in fact, a fard salah. But I'm still going to call it nafl because that part of the salah is nafl. It's not fard to say even Rabbana lakal hamd, right? But it is a quote-unquote innovation inside of fard salah. Okay, you may ask, why am I using the word innovation? Because Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, in his Fath al-Bari, in commentating on this hadith, says, from this hadith, jawazi ihdath, ihdath hadath, means to innovate something new. From this hadith, the permissibility of innovating, an invocation inside salah, other than what is received from the Prophet ﷺ can be inferred, as long as it does not contradict what is received from the Prophet ﷺ. Again, the notion of a new thing, that is not sunnat, but is also not bidat. A third category of innovation, which is jaiz, which is permissible, which in fact, in these two examples, was highly praised by the Prophet. So is either permissible or praiseworthy, but not sunnah, and at the same time, not reprehensible innovation. This has been shown from Sahih Bukhari, from the commentary of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani al-Shafi, shown through amal of Sahaba, and thrown through statements of the Prophet ﷺ. And the conclusions being derived are not mine. I've quoted to you that these are Ibn Hajar's conclusions from these hadith. Alright? Another example. That, and this is in Tirmidhi, and Imam Tirmidhi has called this Hasan al-Sahih. This is what we're going to call this category. Hasan say, because later commentators sometimes feel that this hadith in Tirmidhi is Sahih and others feel it's Hasan. Perhaps anticipating this, or perhaps realizing himself that there was some type of middle category, he is unique and the first person who coined this term Hasan and Sahih. That a Sahaba came, and the name of the Sahaba is not mentioned, that a Sahaba came to prayer, and so they didn't know who he is, but they heard him. He came late, he joined the prayer late. And instead of saying Allahu Akbar, which is a standard takbir, what did he say? Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratun wa asila. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked who said this, and the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not intend by it other than good. So you have now, what is the Sahaba's niyat in doing this? Their niyat is good. The Prophet ﷺ responded, I saw the gates of Jannah open because of those words. So now the Sahaba added something new. Now what is this? This was Fard Salah in Jama'at. And the Takbir is actually Fard. The Takbir is actually Fard to say the Takbir. So now you have a Sahaba adding something new in a Fard element of a Fard Ibadah. And he obviously did not feel in any way that he was not allowed to do so. And now you can think, you know, people love to say this statement in a bad way. I'm going to say it different, that the Sahaba are people. Now when the Sahaba see there and they hear the Prophet ﷺ say that, any normal person would think that, okay, ye to unhne koi ek achcha kalam socha, ek achi niyat se kahe, unke liye jannat ke darwaza khul gaye, to maybe koi achcha kalam sochta, maybe Allah ki hamd aur sana ko achche andaaz se, koi naya andaaz se kar sakta, aise andaaz mein jo Rasool ﷺ ne mujhe nahi sikhaya, kyunki is Sahaba ko is naye andaaz kehne se abhi shabash mili hai, aur jannat ki bisharat mili hai. Right? I mean, I would think that any Sahaba who witnessed this event would think, would say, kaash, itna achcha usne bola, kaash, mujhe bhi koi achcha andaaz aata Allah Ta'ala ki hamd aur sana bayan karne ka. That's the conclusion I would think that any Sahaba who witnessed this event would take. Alright. Then you have this issue, not the way I'm going to show it to you, but an issue that can be recited Surah Ikhlas over and over again. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ never did that. He never recited Surah Ikhlas over and over again. And remember this notion that if it's not sunnah, it's bidat. I'm trying to show you that that's not the case. That is not a necessary logical conclusion. Okay, I will show you again. From the Sahih al-Bukhari, again. And I'm not in any way, by confining myself to this, I'm not, those of you who know me from before know that I do not think that only the Hadith and Muslim and Bukhari are source of our deen. But if there's anybody who thinks like that, then if I present to them, you see, if somebody claims that I only take it if you show it to me Bukhari and Muslim, then I show you Bukhari. If you are honest, then you must change your position. If you are honest, then I'll take it if it's in Bukhari. Once I show you it's in Bukhari, you would have changed your position by now. So another example. Again in Sahih Bukhari. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Sayyidina Rasulullah dispatched a man as the Amir of Lashkar of Jihad. And he led, because he was the Amir, he led the Mujahideen in Salah, in Al-Jama'ah. And every time he prayed, at the end of his Salah, the end of his Qiraat, he recited Surah Ikhlas. Every rakat, whatever he recited, wherever he did Qiraat from, at the end, he would also add Surah Ikhlas at the end. When the Sahaba came back, they asked the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ then asked the man, he says that because it describes Ar-Rahman, and I love to recite it. أحب قراءته, I love to recite it. So the Prophet ﷺ said that tell him that Allah loves it. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. So a Sahaba Karam on his own doing something that the Prophet ﷺ never did. The Prophet ﷺ did not end every single recitation of every single qiraat with Surah Al-Ikhlas. And he did so. Amir al-Mujahideen. And the Prophet ﷺ said, tell him that Allah loves him. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Mahbubi Khuda. This is even more than Jannah. This is even a more bigger bishanat than the earlier ones I gave you. And you're also seeing the niyat. Ke agar koi insan Allah ki muhabbat mein, khair ki niyat se, Allah hi ki hamd aur sana bayan kare, not in a way that's khilaf shara, not doing anything against the shari. I'm keeping the definition of bidah along with it. It is completely jaiz and permissible and praiseworthy. And it's not sunnah. Doesn't mean we call it sunnah. You can't call it sunnah. The hadith is also serving the Prophet and didn't do it. I'm telling you it's not sunnah. But it's also not bidah. Right? Okay. Chalo. Recitation of Surah Al-Khlas over and over again. One is that it's kuch, you know, and in fact there's some Arabs who do this. I remember when I was in America, and I used to pray, I can't remember if he was from Egypt or Syria. Allahu Alam, I cannot tell you honestly, I remember what country. But I do know he was a non-Gulf Arab. But the non-Saudi, Kuwaiti, Bahraini, Qatari, UAE. One of the majority of Arabs, which are Egyptians, Jordanians, Syrians, Moroccans, Palestinians. He used to recite Surah Al-Khlas like this at the end sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes he would do that. Right? And it was something new for us also. Right? But something new does not necessarily equal something bad. That's what we're trying to show. Actually, repetition. Again, Sahih Bukhari. It's amazing that, and you should think that, you know, why is it that perhaps some of us may feel that on the one hand we have been taught that it's all Bukhari, and the second hand we've been given very a selective treatment of Bukhari. Why weren't we taught these things, right? Or when we were taught these things, why were we not taught the Muhaddiseen's understandings or the conclusions and rulings that the Muhaddiseen derived from these hadith? Right? If anybody may be have studied Bukhari and have not come across these things. Sayyidina Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala narrates that one Sahaba heard another Sahaba reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas over and over and over again. And in the morning came, that Sahaba went to the Prophet and mentioned it to him. And the Prophet said that by him in whose hand is my soul, it equals a third of the Quran. This is a very famous hadith that the reformists and modernists love to do itraz on. I'm not going to go into that right now. What does it mean? But for our purposes, it means that the Prophet ﷺ did not in any way nullify or negate that practice. Did not in any way censure the repetition of Surah Ikhlas over and over and over and over again by Sahaba. Right? Neither was that Sahaba ever told or taught to do that. So the Sahaba were engaged in non-sunnah ibadat, in nafil, in farz, elements of farz. That I've established to you exclusively from the Sahih Bukhari. Now, that person who thought that the meaning of bidah is to do anything not in the sunnah will have to accuse every one of these Sahaba kiram as doing bidah. Or come up with some fancy theory to suggest that they were all doing bidah, but because the Prophet ﷺ approved it, it's not bidah. Right? But like I told you, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say in any way, it's okay for him, or it's a good thing I found out, or it's okay because now I know and I've said it's okay. There is nothing in any of the prophetic responses that in any way tries to even close this door. In fact, every single time the Prophet ﷺ commends a Sahaba for doing so, all of you would have to agree that door is being thrown wide open. And all of the other Sahaba are going to think that this is a great thing and usnita shabashni. Maybe shabashni na chanta. Right? Okay. Another issue, which is similar, another thing on this list. The Arabic word for ta'weez is ruqya. And I didn't have this, I bought it. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, has written a book called Al-Kalim al-Tayyib, in which he has collected a hadith. And he has a whole section called Bab al-Ruqaya, the section of the hadith on the use of ruqya, on the use of ta'weez, which talks about particular Quranic formulas, talks about the blowing. This is the question I got, that can you recite particular ayat and why do you blow? Allahu Akbar. Right? Because the Prophet ﷺ did so. Right? Share Sahaba doing so. Because what happens is that people take those that didn't say, no, that was khas with the Prophet ﷺ. Once a Sahaba does something, no, there can be nothing that's khas with the Sahaba. I also want to know that clearly. Maybe somebody will try to win you over on that argument that this amal is khas with the Prophet. There is nothing that is khas with the Sahaba. Once a Sahaba can do it, any non-prophetic ummati can do it. Right? So Sahaba doing ruqya. Also in Sahih Bukhari. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Right? Sayyidina Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala narrates that a group of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majma'in departed on a safar. And they broke journey, and there were some Badu, some desert Arabs, who they asked for hospitality. But those Arabs, pagan Arabs, they weren't Muslims, they refused to grant them their tent, a place by their fire, some food, they refused. And then what happened was the Amir, the leader of that non-Muslim group of Arabs, was stung by a scorpion in that night. Then, his followers of that leader tried to cure him. When everything had failed, one of them thought that perhaps if we approach this group of people, yani the Sahaba, who were camped out near us, maybe one of them may have some cure for your illness. So they came to them and said that, oh, literally it means, oh group of men, yani oh Sahaba, but oh group of men, our leader has been stung by a scorpion and we have tried everything, we have no cure for it. Do any of you have anything that can be cured? One of the Sahaba said that, yes, by Allah, I recite ruqya over people. He's not doing it now, he says it's his amal. I recite ruqya over people. Now how you want to translate ruqya, words of healing, Quranic words of healing, a shifa'a, you want to call it ta'weez and urdu. I recite ruqya over people. It's also clear, not that I'm going to do this just now. He's saying, ye mera to peeche se amal chala raha, that I recite ruqya over people. But by Allah, we asked you to host us and you refused. So I will not recite anything unless you give us a fee. Ye bhi aagya. You can take money for ta'weez, Allahu Akbar. I'll tell you my own. I'm doing the research. My personal side will come later. Hum nahi karte, even for free. Kya karna? Hum nahi aata. Right? Ek buzurg the, kisi ne unko kaha ki aap mere liye taweez likhe. To usne likha ki Allah Taala mujhe kuch nahi aata, tu usko shifa de. Likh kar de diya. Bas chal. Right? Aise taweez main bhi de sakta hu agar koi lene wala ho, main dene wala ban jaunga. No problem. Right? But Sahaba Kiram doing this. Then, so they agreed. They agreed upon a herd, not one, a herd of sheep. Bukhari, a herd of sheep. And then they gave it to that Sahaba. The Sahaba went and began, literally means began spitting and reciting fatha over the victim. What is the spitting? You do pook in a pook. And reciting fatha over the victim of the scorpion sting. Until he got up and walked as if he were, this is an Arabic expression, as if he were a camel released from its hobble. Yani bilkul theek thaak, chalne par jaise koi oot ko aapne chhod diya desert mein. Nothing, with nothing no longer wrong with him. They paid the agreed upon fee, which some of the Sahaba wanted to divide up. But that Sahaba who had recited said that do not do so until we reach the Prophet ﷺ, tell them what has happened and see what he may order us to do. They came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him what has occurred, and he said that, how did you know it? And the muhaddisin write that this was fatih. Was among the words that heal, you were right. Divide up the herd and give me a share. Allahu Akbar, this is Bukhari. I mean, main iska mazedar urdu tarjuma karta hu, bas ek ba mahawara mein. Ki Allah ke bande, aapko kaise pata chalta ki isme shifa hai, aap aapas mein taqseem karo, mujhe bhi apna hissa do. Main aapke nabi hu. Right? Hadith, Bukhari, Sahaba, saying it's my amal from the past, I did it then, and it worked. Right? Non-prophetic human being. If a Sahaba can do it, anybody can do it. If a Sahaba can do it, anybody can do it. Doesn't mean everybody can do it. Like I said, I don't do it, right? But it means jawaz, permissibility, so is there. Permissibility is there. All right?